Father, we have so many questions and we seem to have so few answers. We do pray that you'll help us to understand from your word today how we can find favour in your sight and how we can discover our will, your will for our lives. Amen. Well, I wonder, what is your purpose in life? Do you think your life has a purpose? What do you hope to achieve? You may have ambitions, things you hope to do, but do you have a purpose in your life? Do you think that God is in control of what happens in the world? And I jotted those notes down before the news of last night came through. But of course, it's a very difficult time, isn't it? We question, we don't understand. Is God actually in control? Do you think God's in control of your life? What do you think God's will is for your life? Well, today we're going to learn about finding favour with God, but also discovering God's will. So we're going to see from this chapter how we find favour with God and how Ruth and Naomi learnt God's will, and in particular, what they did to discover God's will. So on the sheet we see today, the blank there to fill in, we see from these verses how God is good to those who take refuge in him. Those who take refuge under his wing. It's a sort of poetic phrase, isn't it? But let's think about for a moment what that actually means. We'll come back to that. But when we learn about God being good to us, of course, that doesn't necessarily mean nice and really pleasant things all the time, necessarily. Fairly obvious example, if there's a young child picks up a sharp knife in the kitchen and starts waving it about, mum is not going to say, oh, that's good, okay, carry on. No, she's going to come and take it away. The child is going to probably object, maybe throw a tantrum, scream and kick. In the child's eyes, mum's not being good, is she? But of course, we know she is. And so we don't understand necessarily everything that happens to us, but we have faith and trust in our God, and we can see from this chapter how that faith and trust can play out. Now, last week, we heard about the fact, and Bart reminded us this morning, that Naomi was really bitter about the things that had happened to her. She railed against God. She even changed her name. She said, don't call me Naomi. She changed her name to a name that means bitter. And of course, on a human level, we can understand that. She'd lost her husband. She'd lost two sons, neither of whom had had any children. She thought everything was against her. We can sympathize with her. But in this chapter, what is wonderful is that God's mercy becomes so obvious that even Naomi can see it. It breaks through upon her, as we'll see. But let's see, to start with, what we can learn from the character of two of the main characters in our story. We'll look at Ruth and at Boaz. Look at verse 2. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour. So what's Ruth doing? Well, more importantly, what's she not doing? She's not just sitting around moping. Oh, dear. She's not just sitting around praying and doing nothing else. She's not waiting for a miraculous sign. She's not waiting for a flash of lightning or a loud voice telling her what to do. She's doing something sensible. She's getting on with things. But look what she's also doing. She's also showing great care and respect for her mother-in-law. And we can learn a lot from that in caring for the older members of our church family who need our help, and for our own families as well. She's showing care and respect for her mother-in-law. She's prepared to go out and do what is a really lousy job in order to protect Naomi. Gleaning corn, as we'll see, is a rotten job. But she's prepared to go out and do that. She's going out in the hope of finding favour in someone's eyes. The word favour there is the same type of word as is used for grace. You may remember the time of Noah, when Noah built the ark, we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Favour, grace, same meaning. But Ruth's initiative, Ruth's getting on with things, that was the answer to her own prayer. She wasn't going to find favour in someone's eyes unless she put herself in front of someone's eyes. So if we're looking for God's guidance, it's no good waiting around for some kind of great flash of lightning or a loud booming voice or a real sense of inner conviction as we quietly meditate. That's all good to pray, as we'll see, but it's not the only way of finding God's will. We need to use common sense. Because God can intervene in the very ordinary things, the very humdrum things of our lives. Now, what would have happened? Just think for a moment. What would have happened to Naomi if Ruth had just sat around moping or had done nothing but pray? What would have happened to Naomi? Well, she would have probably starved to death. Common sense, careful thinking, sensible action. Christian life is practical. Now, God's will for our lives, it's not like a sort of a package that's let down on a string that you open up and there it all is. It's a bit more like a scroll that's unrolled day by day. And as we go through our lives, we learn God's will for our lives. Now then, Ruth, first of all, we see she showed initiative. Look at verse 10. It says that this, she, Ruth, bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" She was humble. She showed humility. She didn't demand a handout. She was humble. She was looking to find favour in someone's eyes, and we'll see in a moment how we find favour with God. But also look at verse 17. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. Though that's not a lot. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. So she worked hard. So on the seat, Ruth showed initiative, she showed humility, and she also showed hard work. Initiative, humility, hard work. Good characteristics for us to copy. Let's think about Boaz. Well, on the sheet, Boaz was a man of integrity. The dictionary definition of integrity is someone who's honest with strong moral principles. Integrity, a great characteristic for us to copy. Look at verse 4. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. See how he greets his workers. See how they responded. Now, if I had done that at work, I think I'd have got a few strange looks. But this shows that Boaz was a man of God. If you want to know someone's relationship with God, look at their ordinary lives. Look at the details of their everyday life. Clearly, Boaz was a God-saturated man. So much so that his farming business and his relationship with his workers was, if you like, shot through with God. So in addition to being a man of integrity, Boaz was also God-saturated. Another good characteristic for us to copy. We need to ask ourselves, does God saturate our lives? Now we come to the heart of this message, this passage, finding favour with God. So here we have Ruth. She set out on her own initiative to glean some corn and see if she can find favour in someone's eyes. Look at verse 3. So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. As it turned out, there would just been a patchwork of fields. No identifiable markers, no sign saying, this is Boaz's field, glean here. There was no divine sat-nav shouting out, at the next field, turn left, you have reached your desk. As it turned out, it's like the writer here is teasing us. What looks like a coincidence turns out to be God's wonderful, gracious care. Ruth set out on her own initiative, and she just happened to go into Boaz's field just at the moment Boaz decided to harvest the crop. Look at verse 4. Just then Boaz arrived. God has the whole world in his hand, even as Ruth exercises her free choice. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, we read these words. For from him, and through him, and for him are all things, everything, from him, through him, and for him. So next part on the sheet, God in his grace and mercy provided for Ruth. Like Ruth, we find favor by humbling ourselves and taking refuge under God's wing. And what is this? Well, this is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is right here. How was it that Ruth found favor? Because she sought refuge under God's wings. Look at verse 12. This is Boaz talking. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Now, Ruth had bowed down low. She'd shown humility and asked why she, a foreigner, had found favor. Now, this is the message of the gospel because Ruth hadn't earned mercy from God or from Boaz. And this is the message of the gospel throughout the whole of the Old Testament and the whole of the New Testament, that everyone who humbles themselves, like Ruth, and takes refuge under his wings, God will have mercy on them. So why should God show mercy to Ruth? Well, because she sought refuge under his wings. Because of this, Ruth was enabled to leave a much more comfortable life, to leave everything behind, leave her homeland, and devote herself in love to Naomi. Or if you put it the other way, leaving home and loving Naomi were the result and the evidence of her taking refuge under God's wings. Now, Jesus talked to the Pharisees about wanting to gather his children like a hen gathers her brood under her wings with these words from the Gospel of Luke. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. All the Pharisees had to do was to take refuge under the wings of Jesus and stop glorifying themselves, stop making out that they were the best. But they wouldn't. Ruth wasn't their model. There was no falling down on their face before Jesus, no bowing down, no astonishment at finding favor. What's the message for us? Don't be like the Pharisees, be like Ruth. Don't be like the Pharisees, be like Ruth. Well, we talked about Naomi and the way in which she started out our story as being very bitter. But Naomi came to learn about the sovereignty of God. She realizes that God's been in control all the time. God stopped the famine. God bound Ruth to Naomi in love. God preserved Boaz for Ruth. God guided Ruth to Boaz's field. It's a bit like the light of God's love has suddenly shone down. It's suddenly broken through that bitterness, broken through so that even Naomi could understand it. Look at verse 20. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." Now, it's clear from the text, and it's clear in some other versions of the Bible, that there are two people, if you like, that Naomi's talking about here. The Lord bless him. She's saying the Lord bless Boaz. But when she goes on, "he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she's referring to the Lord, to God. Because Boaz had just started showing kindness, but she said, "he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." The dead she was referring to, of course, were her two sons and her husband. God had not stopped showing kindness. The light of God's love has shone through to Naomi. The bitterness melted away. What can you see there? A jumbled mass? What can you see there? The other side. To start with, all you can see is a mass of knots and tangles. But you turn it over and you see a wonderful picture. Naomi could only see, as is on the sheet, Naomi could only see the underside of the tapestry. But we can trust God that one day we will see the top side. We will see how God works his purpose out in our lives. How God works his purpose out in our lives. So we see that God is kind. He's good to everyone who takes refuge under his wings. He calls us to be like Ruth, to bow down low in humility, to confess that we don't deserve anything from him. As Ruth acknowledged, she didn't deserve anything. He calls us to take refuge under his wings and to be amazed, to be astonished at his grace and favour. So the big takeaway point for us is God is in control and has a purpose for our lives. At difficult times, when we see so many dreadful things happening in the world, we see the knots and the tangles, we see the underside. We cannot understand what is going on, but we know that one day we will see the proper side, the top side. We only see the back of what God is doing right now with our mortal eyes. Naomi came to see that the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. But believing in the sovereignty of God is not what's known as determinism. Determinism is saying, oh, well, whatever will be, doesn't matter what we do, it's just everything's going to happen, so we might just as well give up. No, that's not belief in the sovereignty of God. We're not like pawns on a chessboard, some kind of divine chessboard that's just being moved around, there's nothing we can do about it. We're not like puppets being manipulated from on high, moved about without our own freedom and choice. We have a choice. We have a choice to take refuge under God's wings. And we have responsibilities. Ruth decided to go out and work in the fields. Naomi encouraged her. Boaz decided that this would be the time to harvest his fields. Do you see those three things? Three people decided or encouraged, and God used this to move his will forward, to move forward his will and the purpose of redemption for all of us. But there's something really significant about God moving his will through people in this way. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, you'll see that King David would be descended from Ruth. And from that same line, hundreds of years later, would come the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that amazing? God was in control all through those hundreds of years. People took initiative. People encouraged. People bowed down to find favor with God and to take refuge under his wings. So let's just think finally about learning God's will for our lives. How do we learn God's will? How do we learn God's purpose for our lives? Well, there are some practical things we can do. Here are the blanks on the sheet. We learn God's will for our lives in a number of ways. First of all, by taking refuge under God's wings. That is, submitting to God through Jesus, following Jesus, so that we can take refuge under God's wings. We do it by praying for guidance, by reading our Bibles, by trusting God, by using our common sense, by applying careful thought. By listening to those we respect who love us most to give us good advice. And in taking initiative, getting on with the next sensible thing. Through all this, God was working his purpose out. We need to hang on to this. Not just when things seem to be going well, but also in the dark times. Things were terrible for Naomi, but we must hang on to the sovereign will of God. Naomi was saying, I don't know what's going on, I can't make head or tail of this. But we've got to hang on to the unconnected things, the disconnected, the sort of the entangled threads that we can only see from the underside of the tapestry. We've got to remember that it's only the back view we see of what God is doing. Eventually, one day, we will see it from the front. We'll see that all these dark threads, all the difficult knots, all the disappointments, they were all part of God's perfect plan and will for our lives. Recognize these words? Praise him for his grace and favor. To our fathers in distress. Where are you going, Ruth? I'm going to go out and pick some of the stuff in the fields, if that's okay, Naomi. I'm going to do it behind someone in whose eyes I find favor. Praise him for his grace and favor. Then the wonderful words, praise him still, the same forever. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to stand while I pray, then we'll meditate on these words for a short while before we sing that wonderful hymn. Could I invite you to stand? Heavenly Father, help us to understand all these things. May we know what it means to take refuge under your wings. If there's anything that we have in our recollection that's untrue or unhelpful, we pray that you will take it away. Pray that you will instill in our hearts a real sense of dependence on you. Help us to remember that when we no longer see you as we see now, when we see you face to face, we will be able to say it was all worth it. when I see Jesus. All the trials of our life can seem so small when I see Jesus. But for now, help us to read our Bibles, to trust you, to use common sense, to think carefully, and to do the next sensible thing for Jesus' sake. Amen. So in a moment of silence, praise God for his grace and favor. Praise him that he's still the same forever.